You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
I'm sick with this, I'm sick with this. Since you wasn't the button, large judgment. My own sweet down, didn't teach what I thought. I didn't recognize simple things anymore. I don't wanna be defeated, I don't wanna be defeated, I don't wanna be defeated, I don't wanna be defeated.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Welcome to the show. Lead Singer Syndrome is what it's called. I am your host, like always, Shane Told. Oh, it feels good. I'm home. I am home from tour, a very long and grueling tour. It was, like, did I mention it was long and grueling? Yeah, 8 weeks. Oh my God, that's the time I was away from my home. I've forgot what it looked like. I haven't lived here that long, but it's been very, very strange. I broke my arm on this tour. That's a whole thing. I'm still recovering from that. But I will say it was all worth it. Great tour, great people. August Burns Red, awesome. And another band we were out with, they're called Silent Planet. And anyone who is an avid listener of this podcast may know that Garrett from Silent Planet, Garrett Russell, he is the only person now, as of this episode, to appear on the podcast 3 times. And there's a reason for it. Because he's great. Because he's very smart. He's very candid. Very honest. This episode is no exception. Except, the exception to the exception is, we have also Thomas from Silent Planet, the clean singer in the band, is also on this episode. And this is a lot of fun. We do it a little differently. You know, I know I tend to stick to the same format. The format, I think, is very good. It's strong, like bull. It is a very good format, but we break it up a little bit today. This was recorded in the dressing room, in August Burns Red's dressing room that we were using while they were playing. So their guitar tech comes in at one point, their drum tech comes in at one point, and then they come back for their encore. Dustin from ABR says hello. Jake says hello. Josh from Silverstein makes a little appearance saying hello. Travis, our tour manager. So it really is a fun-filled episode, just to give you a little context about what it's all about. Woo! Yes, I'm back. I'm back, baby. It's good. It's good. This is a little late because, you know, life. But hey, things are just really, really going well with this podcast. I feel great to be home, be able to work, do a little more stuff with the All Access Club. Not that I've been slacking. Come on. My 300 plus members, they know what's up. We've got an amazing family, and I saw so many of all y'all on this run, and my center meetups, they were so much fun every day. So yeah, if you want to be a part of the All Access Club, check it out, leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess for all of the info. What else? You can email me. Anyone can email me, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. It really is just nice to hear from you. So yes, feel free to do that. I also want to remind you about our new sponsor, Iconic, E-Y-E-C-O-N-I-C, iconic.com. If you wear glasses or contact lenses, look no further. Even if you don't wear them, if you're having a little trouble with your eyes like me, mine are on the way. I'm excited. go check out iconic.com/LSS. Promo code LSS, you save 10% off. You're going to hear the whole thing later in the episode, but I want to remind you just what a great place it is. And they also are being so lovely with supporting the podcast. So yes, I know you. Yes, you. You're wearing glasses right now. I can see you through the radio. So go over there, iconic.com/LSS, and pick up something sweet. Anyway, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Now here it is, my conversation with Gary and Tommy from Silent Planet. You like when I keep the stuff like this right now?
Hey, wow.
A little. I don't usually keep the sound check in the intro, but Travis, I do.
Okay, Travis, your sound guy.
Yes.
Sound engineer. So sorry, Trappy. He told me a funny joke about why when you check the mic, you don't count to three. I'm sure you've heard this joke.
I don't know the joke.
You don't know the joke. Okay. He said, because if you count to three, you have to pick something up. Because we always go, 1, 2, check, hey, 1, 2, yeah, wow, hey, 1, 2. If you count to three, you got to lift something.
I don't understand this joke. What is wrong with me?
Because when you lift something, you go, lift.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, lift. Oh, okay. God, that's a terrible joke. God, we really start on a low point here.
You travel with constantly. That is the man you
this
sleep
is. I employ
near.
This man.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm the reason he has job. Oh my goodness. Well, hey, I'm here with Thomas and Garrett of Silent Planet.
Or
Garrett,
Tarzan.
you're a veteran of this podcast.
How many people
time
have
three,
done
right?
Three.
You're the only one. You're the first one. You're the first three timer.
Wow.
All of the actually like kind of famous people that you've interviewed, you get croaky voice, nerdy me. For three times. What did you do for God to punish you with me three times?
I mean, you're the Christian.
He wanted
know.
Me.
What circle of Dante's hell are we
He in? Wanted me, Gary. So he's like, true. Shit, I gotta like get this.
Get
both
this guy
of them
to tag along.
Speaking of Dante, I guarantee you're the only one that's read all the three books of Dante's Inferno, though, I bet.
Actually, like, that's
Inferno.
True.
Have you read all three of them?
That's actually true.
Paradiso and
And you've read them. And you've read them.
Yes.
So see, you deserve to be on this podcast three times. This is not just coincidence. This is by design. I want a smart motherfucker on here that can tell people some shit.
There's a reason why I'm on this once and Gary's on it three. You feel me? Yeah.
Well, Thomas, it's nice to have you.
Hey.
And one thing that I'm incredibly excited about is having you on the show because you are a listener of the show.
Yeah, I
and
actually
you told
do.
Me you're a big fan.
Yeah, no, I've listened to countless amount of Lead Singer Syndrome podcasts. Like
countless.
Yeah, I've at least listened to over, I would say, 12 to 15 episodes. I feel like that's pretty excessive.
I think that's
for
decent.
Myself. I don't really listen to music or podcasts or anything like that. So like when I do venture out, I'm like, oh, I know what to go to, you know?
So do you have a favorite and least favorite podcast of the show you listen to?
I don't have a least favorite. Oh, you mean like people I listen to or like in general?
No,
I
just mean like that I like that you enjoyed or didn't enjoy.
Of your podcast.
Yeah, of this one.
No, I don't.
No?
First of all, I'm not going to throw heat like that. Second of all, I don't think so. You're really good at asking questions and kind of like doing your homework, which we kind of talked about the other day. And
yeah.
Wait, are we allowed to ask you what your least favorite podcast is?
Yeah, no, someone did,
and it was
very uncomfortable. Dude,
what did I say?
That is what I was trying to remember the other day for like 15 minutes, and I was like...
I said on a podcast what my least favorite one was?
I believe so.
No.
You said who was the most, I believe, difficult, or who was the most, Dude, now I feel like I'm in the
lion's pit. I think I might have heard that. Like, the kind of person that you ask them a question and they're like, yes.
Yeah, I've been stonewalled a few times. And you know what my favorite thing, though, is when I get stonewalled a little bit at the beginning, maybe somebody, like, they don't really want to do the podcast or, like, they don't like my, hey, I'm Shane Toll, Elite Savior Syndrome, what's up? You know, they don't like my, you know, they think I'm cheesy or something like that. But my favorite thing is when I finally, like, get them. And they open up to me, and they start telling, and then like we become friends like later, and that's one of my favorite things. But I will answer your question.
Okay.
So this is a pretty funny story. So I was supposed to have this guy on the podcast from, I'm not going to say call him out, but he was in a metal band, an extreme metal band.
Sure.
And I wasn't super familiar with
Metalocalypse.
It was Death Clock. Oh, I fucked with Death Clock,
dude.
But. So I was supposed to have this guy on the show, and I did have my show, sort of. So I'll explain. I didn't really want to do it, but the company that I was with, they were like, oh, pushing for this. They thought it'd be a cool, you know, guy to have on. So I said, okay. So I woke up, and I kind of forgot about it. So my alarm, like I'd set my alarm, but I'd been drinking, and my alarm went off, and I was like, what is my alarm? Oh, yeah. I got us this podcast. So I go into the living room and I set up the stuff and I made a little bit of notes. So I was looking over my notes but it was like a little bit like, okay, like I got to call this guy. He's calling me. And you know, I'm like a little bit stressed out. So I start talking to this guy and he is the most boring person I've ever spoken to. On the podcast or not on the podcast.
Yeah, that's
it was
rough.
Bad. And I don't think he'd done interviews before. I don't think he understood because it would be like, hey, man, so like, you know, tell me about your family structure. You know, did you were your parents together? Did you have brothers and sisters? He answered, I have a sister. Okay. Like it was like answers like
I mean,
that.
At that point, was he an English speaker primarily?
He's an American guy.
Okay. Well, so anyway...
Well, at that point, you're fishing. Like,
it was
you're
hard.
Like, you're guessing about this dude's life that you don't even know where to target. You're like, so you like fishing? Or
well, I got through 20 minutes, and I looked down at my questions that were depleted, and I said, how am I going to get through this? Like, honestly, that's a stressed out man right
there.
Yeah,
no, he's...
When the guitar tech comes in the room...
Straight up broken.
What are you looking for in here?
Broken in half.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, but I digress. I look at the notes and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fill like a full-length podcast. And we got through it. Finally, we did 35 minutes. And I hung up with him. And I went, oh, God, I really don't want to put this one out. Like, this is definitely going to be the worst podcast I've ever done. I was probably, at this point, I was probably around the like 80 episode mark, something like that. So I felt like, I've done like 80 podcasts. They've all been pretty good. And this one here's my first like really
shitty
one.
There's like no redeeming qualities.
It was, no, it was like, it was horrible. It was boring.
Even in post editing, like all of that?
I mean, I don't know, man. It was short too. So here's the best part. I go to turn off my recorder and I realize... I had never hit record.
Yes. Is this the only thing that time that's ever happened?
It's the only time that's ever happened, except one other time. I was on with Agnostic Front, Roger Moret, and I actually forgot to hit record on that one. And that's why if you listen to that one, it's like a weirder intro because I like looked and I was like 3 minutes in. I was like, oh, fuck. And then I hit record.
Dude, can I interject
but real quick? I can't believe I didn't hit record on that. And it was like, it was the best news. I was like, this is amazing. I don't have to worry about this now. And I just didn't have the heart to tell the guy.
So
that's why if this guy knows who he is, and he might, that's why that episode never came out. And I'm very
sorry.
Here's
the thing, though. There's no way he would give you answers like that if he listens to all these.
No.
That's true. I'll give you that.
This is where I'm actually confused.
I don't think you've heard of the band. They're not a huge band or anything.
I don't know. I felt like maybe I was listening to something else. I felt like you like... whoever was asking you was like kind of like fishing or pulling for teeth. Like they kind of got it out of you. And I felt like that was the story. And I
might have told that story. I don't know if I've told it that in depth.
I remember a name that I was like familiar with, and I was like, oh shit, that's like actually how that goes.
Well, you know, I've done 100. This is going to be probably episode 188 or 189.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of episodes.
That's a good amount.
I try not to tell the same stories over and over again, but inevitably, like once in a while, something's going to come out that's going to be the same story, because everybody has, like everyone in this world, they have their own, like their couple favorite stories that they tell, end up telling like a few times.
I'm
There's
also
wrong
bringing
with that.
Up like an old episode that I kind of remember.
Right.
It's
right,
not
right,
even
right.
like credible.
Right, right. So we're here, Charlotte, North Carolina. How was the show for you guys tonight?
Show was sick. I feel like it was good. We don't really do too well in like this little pocket for some.
Yeah.
Like, you know, ABR does phenomenal.
We don't do very well either.
It's just like we played the Orange Peel in, I believe,
Asheville.
Asheville,
yeah.
And that was like 2,000 people staring at us, and it was just kind of strange. But also, it's cool when you play in front of a bunch of new people, because we haven't played in front of a lot of Silverstein fans. We've
sure.
done one ABR tour, and still, I think, within the 3 years that we did that tour, there's a lot more growth. But still, you have a lot of like confused faces, which is kind of like a little like kind of game to us, because we're used to that. We're used to people being like standing, staring, just kind of watching, not really enjoying as you would think.
Right.
You know, from up there, you're like, oh, they're really enjoying themselves. To us, it's more about the after the song. If you get a response, we're like, oh, they're definitely listening.
Totally. And there needs to be a build, right? Like when you start playing, especially when you're the first band, I don't know if the show in Asheville you were or not, but tonight you were the first band. So you have to understand you're going on pretty early. It's the middle of the week. Some people are like, they've been busy at work all day. They're like,
right,
just getting there. They're just cracking open their first PBR or whatever. And some people aren't really quite ready mentally to like take in what Garrett is probably going to give them.
Sure.
And sometimes it might take them a little bit of time. So like, I always love that as a support band, and we are one too. It's like, when you start out the show and people are sort of standing around like looking, like trying to figure out, do I like this? And then if by the end they're into it, and it's
mean,
like, that's the goal, right?
In reality, if people came to watch the last band, they don't really care about the first hour and a half of the whole show, right?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not.
But
I don't know.
They might be compelled, like, whoa, dude, ex-girlfriend of mine and I watched Paramore, and I was like, yo, I don't want to watch this, because like the town I live in, it was just like young, very young, like girls all around in the show. And I was like, yo, I want to be like at like a metal show or like a rock show or something else.
Okay.
And I was like, just bummed out. But dude, I found Deer in the Headlights at that show. And Deer in the Headlights, I don't even know where they're from, but dude, they're one of, and they're not even around anymore, but they,
yeah, I remember
they
the band,
impacted yeah. me in music and what I wrote so heavily that
oh, sure.
I would have been bummed if I missed that.
I'll tell a quick story about that same thing. So when I was probably about 16 years old, I went to see Primus and Blink-182.
Yo.
So Primus was the headliner, Blink-182.
I feel like I know about this bill. What year was this?
I think it was 1997. It was right when Dude Ranch had come out. So Damn It was like a big song.
I feel like my old drummer went to this show, and he told me like the most iconic like package.
What was crazy about it was, you know, there was a few really, like, really good bands that I didn't really know them. Like The Alcoholics, this hip-hop band I really liked, actually ended up really liking. And I think Assorted Jelly Beans, a ska band I liked. But the band that played that I'd never heard of before were the Aquabats.
Yeah. Yeah, oh,
and
yeah.
That was when Travis Barker was playing drums for them.
Totally.
So I saw this band play. Had no. This is like before the internet was really a thing, right?
Right.
So I saw them play. I watched Travis Barker wearing a full like costume.
Oh,
absolutely crush it.
Can you elaborate on the costume? Like skeleton costume?
It's the Aquabats. You know, they wear like superhero costumes.
Mean,
he was wearing... They
it,
all wear costumes.
In costume, he was wearing it.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, yo, I'm Travis Barker, I don't wear that.
No. They were all wearing the costumes.
Yo.
So I bought the CDs, both of them at the time, listened to them, And I remember we would talk, like, you know how you are when you're a kid, you're like so like obsessed with music and like, who's the best drummer in punk rock? And I'd be like, the best drummer in punk rock is the Baron Von Tito for the Aquabats.
So you're talking about Travis Barker in the Aquabats.
He was not in Blink 182 yet.
Yeah, no, he was in.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I watched this guy play. Of course,
his Baron Von Tito.
That was his character. So I, and you didn't know any information. I had no information about this band except what was literally in the CDs. And I listened to them, and I would talk, and I would like be like, "Man, the drummers." And if you listen to those records, like Travis Barker rips on those records. But I didn't even know his name. So it wasn't until years later, after they Blink kicked out Scott, who I saw play that show and other shows, when you know Enema of the State came out, and when that record came out, and it was like, you know, changed everything. And I was like, oh, okay. And it took me like a while before someone was like, oh yeah, this new drummer for Blink used to be in the Aquabats and his name is Travis Barker. And I was like, holy shit.
Right.
So I take credit for being one of the first Travis Barker fans.
And I wasn't even around. Like,
no, I'm old.
I was 9 years old in 97. So, you know, no, dude.
That just goes to show
you
that
8 years old
that you never know what you're going to find when you go to see a band. Like some of the best bands are opening bands because everyone starts opening.
Yeah.
Back to that, we hope that can be, and it's actually happened. Like we were in Toronto and I got stopped, and they were just like, "Yeah, we saw you on the last tour with Amity Affliction, Senseless Fail, blah blah blah."
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
We came back for you, and I just. Especially on a tour that's so mixed, you're like, yeah, no, it's not that it works. It's like, oh, that it can happen. Like people can actually go mix genres and enjoy other music.
Yeah. Well, you guys have had, I mean, a great ride. You guys have been on a lot of great tours and you've done a lot of great headline tours as well. And I feel like you've, you know, over the last, let's call it 4 years now.
Yeah.
You guys have sort of started to find your voice, find kind of where you are able to sit, because you're not a conventional band.
No.
You know, you're
at least not in our genre.
In your genre, like you're a Christian metalcore, very progressive thinking band, and those sorts of ideologies don't always mix, especially with how outspoken you are, Garrett, on stage and on Twitter. And just in general,
a lot of Christians don't like it.
Well, to be honest, you know what I mean? We don't see ourselves as a Christian band. We've never said we're a Christian band, but
I mean, it says on Wikipedia you are.
Totally.
Garrett, you can edit that out if you want.
Garrett
can
and I are definitely.
How do I do that? I don't know. You need an app.
What algorithm do I need to hack into? Go Mission Impossible into the main.
Dude, real quick, I want to interject. Yeah. Garrett and I definitely call ourselves believers, and
we do.
We do terrible at it, as any believer, real believer, would admit, right? But my mom doesn't say herself as a Christian nurse. You know, well, she's retired now. My dad doesn't say a Christian drafting engineer or whatever. He just says drafting engineer or nurse.
That's
RN
a good point.
Nurse.
Sure.
So why in the band industry or in any music industry do you have to be like, I get it. No, I definitely get like why, because of the people watching, but also why do we have to be almost like stinted just because we're in like that category?
We didn't even
agree to it. Like, yeah, we just got put in it.
It's interesting. And, like, I could delve into the whole, like, Jerry Falwell moral majority movement in the 1980s and, like, American, like, white suburban folks and how that whole thing kind of created the culture for what became Christian music, which was essentially, like, these massively, like, massive companies were funding these bands that were basically just ripping off secular music, but like changing the idea instead of like a love song, it's like a Jesus song, you know, and then making a bunch of money. And it's funny because that whole industry is dying now, which is good.
Yeah.
I think everything that's the zombie has to die at some point.
Especially the main person that was talking about that, like, don't do that. Don't like make a profit off of my name.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a sad reality we live in that you get this guarantee from a Christian festival and you're like, I don't feel right about that. You know what I mean? Like,
Or all the times that, like, they didn't pass.
Or, dude, that is also...
You know, the guy that started the biggest, like, Christian festival in America...
What, Cornerstone?
It was the Creation Festival Company. Okay. The dude is... he's in prison, as he should be, because he was, like, a massive pedophile.
Oh, boy.
And was... mostly, I think, was doing that at his, like, church, but, yeah, pretty horrible thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy that works at actually, he's in the lead singer Syndrome All Access Club. He's in the lead singer Syndrome All Access Club. I can talk. And
there's a member unit.
He's a member. And he works for SoundScan. So I don't know. I hope I can call him out like this. I hope I'm not, like, you know, burning his cover. But he was talking to me, and he said that the issues they have with the people trying to lie on their sound scans and cheat the system. A lot of it's the Christian music industry that they say you have to watch out for, which, you know, that's like literally that's from verbatim, you know, what he said.
That's interesting. So, well, it's funny.
I have to edit this out, I'm sorry, but
it's funny because we're on a label that is seen as a Christian label. It's not anymore. Like right. they don't see themselves that way. They sign bands that are not, like, whatever.
But they are themselves still, like, the same. Or do they hire non-Christians? That's an interesting, like, is everyone
I think they do, but like, I don't know everyone at the label well enough to say definitively. Yeah. But from what I can tell, everything at this point is pretty much like I have been told. Like, yeah, they're not trying to sign like an artist that's like going like Attila or something.
Right.
Because
they're aware that would alienate
a lot of their international fan bases.
I know
bases.
You listen every
Wouldn't
day.
That be like an incredible publicity stunt though?
I know
Attila
you listen
signs
to
Tooth
Shane
and Nail
every single day on his podcast. So sorry, Franz, about that.
Dude, Franz is my boy.
Dude, I love that. Dude, I met him and I seriously had a genuine time when I talked to that man.
He's great to talk to. Have you talked to him? I feel like you guys talking business would be
I don't like his music. I don't like
That's fair.
I don't really like he uses like some gay slurs and like he's never like said, "Hey, I'm sorry, like that was a dumb thing." Cuz I'm not all about like chasing someone out like and hounding them like religiously, mm-hmm. but the dude like won't back away from that. And I think he talked about it
a little bit on the podcast episode we did together, which was about 2 years ago. I think he did talk about how his take on it. And I not to say I agree
I am aware that the guy doesn't hate anyone. Like,
right.
But of course, the
same way that Donald Trump isn't going to go shoot up a Walmart store in El Paso because he hates Mexicans, but he doesn't say he doesn't. And then maybe there's a problem there, but maybe we'll get into that.
Yeah,
I mean, all in all,
you know, language is bigger than any one person. I think it's always good to just respect what a community says. That being said, you know, not gonna die on a hill.
So,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I want to talk about Thomas joining the band. You know, you guys had done a little bit of things when you came in.
Yeah.
Was it about your singing that came in? Or was it just about your holding down the rock?
I'd love to tell this story real quick.
The bass?
No, not even close.
Okay, well, tell me about the
story. I'll make it short. I'll try it. My wife is like, you tell the longest stories. And I'm like, you should... You know,
longest hair, longest story. It's fine.
Anyway, so... my old man and myself, I guess, we were doing a show with Silent Planet, and Silent Planet had been together for about almost 3 years at that point. And, there was three members from Bakersfield, where I live, Bakersfield, California.
and they joined Silent Planet in LA, which where Garrett was. And I already kind of tried to plug into that. And fun fact, dude, I was going to try out for bass before anything. And I, like, got the tabs and a five string. And I was like, yeah, right, dude. There's no way I can play that at all. Impossible. Ironically, I am the bass player.
Okay.
Anyways, so fast forward. We play this show together. It happens to be like this like weird blowout with my old band, and we ended our band that day, the same day we played with Silent Planet. Garrett, being Garrett, which is, that's a compliment, he was like, yo, because I told him, like, yo, our band's done. Today is the last show, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, join my band. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like,
I can picture his little charismatic
yeah.
face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. His little smile looking at you.
Exactly what I meant.
He can make anyone do anything, you know that?
Dude, kind
oh,
of.
Oh, no.
So,
check out my cult.
Not
I
anyone.
I thought cult's the logical progression after a band.
The planet, the cult. Yeah. Anyway, so I was like, yo, what am I even going to do? All positions are filled up other than your like temporary drummer.
Right.
And he's like, play drums. And so for a month and a half, I tried to learn this EP, and it didn't
so
go.
You can play drums.
I joined the band playing drums.
Pretty. So you obviously can play drums very well.
He's
at a high
a
level.
Drummer. I've seen him rip. He's a drummer.
Oh, wow. Good for you. I didn't know that.
From drums.
So you were playing drums in this old band too?
No.
Oh, you're playing
I play
bass.
Keyboard, singing, and some guitar, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So you're a multi-instrumental.
A little bit. Jack of all trades, master of absolutely
nothing.
He was
a personal music store before he opened his own music store, which, as you know now, he owns a music store.
That is true.
Yes.
Can I plug it?
Plug a store?
Bakersfield Sound Company in Bakersfield, California.
Okay.
Come get all your music rights. And
we got people from Bakersfield that listen to the show. I know.
Very
I know
cool.
them.
That's awesome.
Go there.
Drive past
Thomas
Guitar
Center. Go
there.
A great guy. And use promo code. I'm just kidding. Maybe one day.
Anyway, so we met Alex like 5.5 months later. And legit, he, like, dude, the first 20 seconds of our quote-unquote practice.
Oh, shit. We forgot about the encore.
Oh.
Say what's up, Dustin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We got Dustin here. Lead singer syndrome.
You're listening to Lead Singer Syndrome.
Dustin has been a bonus episode podcast guest before.
Yeah, I was on the bonus episode, The Unsung Heroes, the backup singers.
I've gotten called
we
backup
actually had
singer
a great conversation.
A
if you go, if you're a member of the All Access Club, that's a great one. It was awesome,
dude.
Man.
You're nuts. You're singing. You're screaming. You're playing several different instruments. You're just doing the whole thing.
You write a ton.
Guys,
best case scenario.
Come on.
Shout out to Best Case Scenario. That's his side project, Pop Punk.
Best Case Scenario.
Double time.
It's
really good. It's really, really, really good.
That's awesome. You're not
how's doing, it, I had how's no the idea. Show going out there right now?
It is great. The stage is a little. It's not.
Hi, Brent. Now
apparently,
we got Brent.
We're just interviewing everybody on this episode.
Hi, Brent. Okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes, yes,
we'll
yes.
See you
yes.
Later.
Go do that. Go do that.
Of course. Bye.
I asked JB and Jake if it was okay that we did it in here.
Ah,
I didn't
it.
Think
by the
about
way,
the whole
encore. Yeah,
and
you're not doing
back.
The NoFX cover that you guys do on stage together tonight. I'm guessing, right?
Oh, we do it. What's up, Jake? No, you're fine, dude. We're
not
out.
In
real,
this.
A real lead singer syndrome here.
Jake, how's the show,
wow.
How's
wow.
the show going?
Hold on, Jake.
It's good. It's good. I only have one microphone, which is really weird because I like to have an array. Honestly.
Oh, because is it starting to fade away on you, getting
well,
spit in it and stuff?
I like to have a fresh one each song. so I don't know. This venue
and a different tech holding that microphone.
Yeah. Oh, we've got about 14, but there's 15, 16 songs, so we're gonna have to. Maybe could you actually?
There's a
could you hold one of the microphones?
This literally, like, I've been working my whole way
I'm
up.
I'm actually
just so
holding
I can hold
the microphone.
Jake's microphone.
I'm literally
it's the plan.
The
I'm
bus mic
so
tech.
Cold on stage right now that I'm
Jake is stripping. He's taking his shirt off right now, which is soaked. Like you just got out of the
we
ocean.
We're seeing shirtless Jake right now in full effect. I love the wardrobe change. This is good.
Me too.
I got to say that blue shirt. That seems like maybe a bad choice with the pit stains. You're going to sweat through that in like 1 second.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing's got to be soaked.
Straight
on the scene.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
Just a no.
No, you're not interrupting. This is your dressing room.
I love the show so much that I'm interrupting your show.
Well, we're doing an episode like, well, it'll probably be up next week. So
I think
that we're doing one.
So I should hold on to my stuff so that I can be on your show.
show. Right, right, yeah. Yeah, like, don't give anything away right now.
So far, you're doing great.
Is this one working?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It feels dry. I like it. Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see you later.
Do you want to take that one with you for your show?
Oh, it is unplugged. It is replugged.
Okay, here we go. That'd be good.
Jake, have a good encore.
Yep. Love you, boys.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
This is probably going to be my favorite episode yet.
Yeah,
this is
good.
This is wonderful.
No,
was,
we have surprise guests.
Yeah. So you joined the band, and so you've always been.
I want to celebrate on Alex. I joined the band on drums. Met Alex.
Yes.
Was like, yo. All of us were like, yo. Garrett and I had this weird conversation. He was like, hey, I know you love playing drums, which I do. It's my favorite instrument, but I want to introduce singing. And the only way to do that right now is like some guitar and piano with some singing. So I did that for about 2 years. I've been in the band 7.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this crazy thing happened. My accident, I got hit by this car and like very out of commission for a long time. And I did a tour back with my normal guitar, singing, piano thing. And after that tour, I kind of realized how not fitting / awkward that was because there was no bass player at the time. Because in one tour back in 2014, very early 14, three members quit in one tour.
Right.
Earlier or late? Well, I can't remember.
It's not really too important, I'd say.
Anyways.
Someone's screaming at their radio, it was early 2014, what an asshole!
We were in
We
were in Louisiana on December 27th of 2013, and like three of them were like, we don't want to tour.
It was late 13. So, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I had this like aha moment. We have three guitar players, no bass player, and a permanent drummer now, not me.
Right.
I'm like doing screaming / singing / whatever. And I called Garrett after that tour and I was like, dude, you're not going to play bass. Like, refrain yourself from saying you want to even be, because we were looking for a bass player.
Right.
Dude, first, I don't know if you remember this, Gary. First thing out of my mouth, it's like, yo, what's up, dude? He's like, Tommy, what's up? I'm like, I think I want to play bass. And I was like, I took the phone away from my face. Like, why did I say that?
Yeah, I was
because
in the shower.
Because then he was like, really?
Here you
really?
Are. Here you are.
And then I was like, yeah. And now I've been the bass player and / singer for over four and a half years.
So bass is great and all, and we support bass players on this podcast. We don't hate them. We even allow them apparently to be guests sometimes.
Oh,
however, yeah. I want to talk about your singing because that's what we really talk about.
Love
the real
it.
This is the real, like, this is the talented part.
So it's actually
this is
about
what people
singing.
Listen to.
It's
okay?
Not just about the front maker. Man. It's actually about singing.
Well, you have a great voice.
Thank you.
And
I
really do enjoy when you sing the parts, which they're not, you know, constant, like, but they are very important and an important part of the band now. And I kind of wonder how that happened. Is it because he got in the band that was like a skill that you had that you used? Would you say?
Yeah, I think a little bit.
You encouraged him. You were like, oh, you know what?
It happened through my last band, The New Post. And we were, like I said, local Bakersfield. Yeah. And it was like this thing, like, once again, going back to the drum switching to Allie, which was the right move and kind of painful. He was like, yo, I want you to do what you did in that band, but in this band. And my range was already kind of like established that I could like sing higher, I guess.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I think we're almost going to back away from it. Like, all right, we've plateaued on like how high you can sing every night live. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to like really kind of adventure with it. So I think that's kind of like how it came about. I don't necessarily know how it continues because...
Yeah, I mean, I guess for us, the goal's always been creativity, just, like, trying stuff, you know? Like,
yep.
We're not... Like, on our new album, there's a song that's, like, it's only Thomas, pretty much, I should say. It's 90% Thomas, and it's like a rock song. Could definitely be on the radio, you know? Especially if you found a way to just cut the screen.
How did your fans take that? Because I feel like there's two ways a fan's going to take that. It's going to be like... that's cool. This is an album track. I enjoy it. It breaks up the rest of the record. And they're probably, maybe they won't play it live. Maybe they will on a headlining, you know, as like an ambient thing, yeah, like a different thing. Or this is scaring me. The band's going pop. I'm not comfortable with
this. It was definitely the former, I think, because like I really do like to think that our listeners are aware that like we're not trying to do the metalcore thing that's being done over and over again. Like that horse, it's pretty dead. We're trying to beat it not that often, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. Like we're like, okay, that horse is being beat by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then we don't really do whatever like we feel like we're expected to do. I think for us, the only goal is just to like write songs that we think are good, whether they're like metalcore or not. And so obviously a lot of them will be metalcore. And like my skill set's pretty limited. So like, you know, my contributions will
We've
often
talked
be
about this so many times on this podcast.
I mean,
he's the most self-deprecating motherfucker.
It's just it's that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know, I will argue though that your vision, Garrett, not just in terms of your intelligence and the things you've read and the lyrics, but also just as a person that obviously the business side, and I kind of do want to talk about your merch, at least give your merch store a plug because you got the best merch
in
the game.
Cool. We actually released a Summerline today.
Right. So we'll talk about that in a second, but it really just the fact that you are so, you're steering the ship and you are a very good, I don't want to say manipulator, but I can't think of a better word than that. In terms of you've got all this talent around you, whether it's Thomas or Alex or Mitchell or whoever, and you're able to be like, okay, we're going here next. We're going, you know, it's the same way that like Pete Wentz does it,
but in a good way. You know, it's not like, hey guys,
Nikki Sixx does it, right?
You know, it's not like, yeah, we're doing this or you're out. It's like, hey, I have this vision to make three albums coincide with each other.
Right. And was that the vision? Is that the next step?
We accomplished it. We finished it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you were doing that like right now.
No. Now again, we have to think of something else. We have to move on from the palindrome, from the
the trilogy kind of.
No. What is the circle building,
Oh, the panopticon?
Thank you, panopticon.
Oh, boy, that's a word that's a big one.
It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Also, to recap
all singers listening to this, their heads have just exploded.
To recap on the little plug on In Absence, which is the song I do sing a lot on, it was cool because it was something our fans never heard before. They usually hear some crazy high chorus, and it's like, that's it, right?
You'd be able to be a little more expressive.
A little bit more emotional, a little bit more expressive, and kind of not show off like the range, but like kind of just like be a singer for once rather than like chorus guy or mid-verse guy or whatever.
And the theme of that song was, you know, pretty important to you, especially.
Yeah. Like, my wife and her parents, her mom suffered from dementia. Sorry. My wife's mother, my mother-in-law, her mom, her grandma, suffered from dementia, actually passed because of it. And it was one of those things when I heard it done, like I just lost it. It was insane. Like I wasn't even like preparing for it. I didn't even realize how big of a song it was to me and her family.
Right.
Like her mom is like that. She calls it my song. It's insane. Right. So that's how personal, like it can be.
Was it pretty obvious when you were writing the lyrics? Like if you, dude, I always wonder about that, right? Because
like verse for verse, it was like,
and I don't know the song well enough to know like what the lyrics are and everything. I heard your album, but to go back and think of all the words, was it the kind of thing where you wrote it and then you're like you were talking to your girlfriend about it and then therefore it became that, or was it so obvious that they would have known?
So
because that's an interesting thing about writing lyrics.
So
like I feel like I could tell anybody something's about them and they might be like, oh yeah, I can.
So
totally
she already knew
because the ambiguousness.
At that time she was, I think we were married at that point. I think we were.
Oh sorry, I said girlfriend.
No, it's okay. I think I told her, like, yo, we're going to go for this. Because the whole album was about mental illnesses.
You're right.
So we just kind of hit every one we could on each song, right? So that was obviously dementia and the other word for it.
Oh, Alzheimer's.
Thank you, Alzheimer's.
Right, right.
So she already kind of knew about it. And it was like one of those things, like I said, once it was finished, it was like, wow, that's what it is. But when we were writing it, verse for verse, it was like very painted out. Like the wife is losing her memory and the husband's telling the story as the memory. And second verse is the other way around.
So,
and
so it sounds like you're as on board as Garrett is in terms of the message of the band and the lyrics and what you guys are saying socially and all that. Because, you know, Garrett, and I'm using your own words against you, with his limited amount of things you can do, which you like to you know, kind of kick yourself, beat your own dead horse. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But, you know, kick yourself when you're down with this way, which I don't really like that you do that. But that's his thing, right? He has his thing. It seems like you're almost on that, in that way too. Do you feel like the music is more your focus?
So no, yes. To answer your question, Garrett, yes, is he, first of all, he's the only original member in this whole band. Mm-hmm. Out of 10 years, we just turned 10.
I mean, I'm gonna cut in and say that it's like not very fair to say that Thomas isn't like original because he's been on every tour we've ever done. He just kind of missed the days of like covering bad like Eminem songs and like just being
so. Here's the thing: I have no problem with someone having a vision. Like, dude, I plan to do other things musically that have their own visions, and it's not even like to like overtake Silent Planet or anything. Right. It's just I get it. So I've never been like, yo, what the, whoa, dude, like that stomps what I thought. It's always been like, yo, that vision is awesome. What if we can like work on these two parts of it?
Right.
And like just amplify it rather than cut it out.
You probably learned a lot from Garrett too, just about like life and about everything, right? I mean, well, that's got to be a beauty. Like I feel like you guys have in your band a really cool relationship with each other, like a really
Have a unique one.
You think it's unique? Yeah,
it is unique. We didn't choose each other as roommates. You know what I mean? As you know what I mean.
No, you chose each other as people that you thought would be good in a band together.
Exactly.
Not so, living partners. Sure, so that's every band, I think.
Out of the almost 8 years that I've been doing this and have known Garrett, and even Alex joined like I said 5.5-6 months after I did. Yeah. So he's been just
guys for a while.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, being that said, like I would not want it any other way. It's funny because you look at other bands and you see how their camps kind of like react and like have fun with each other or whatever, and you almost look at it on a weird day when you're not feeling great and you're like, wow, that looks so much more fun.
Oh, right.
Right. But you're like, no, like I know my guys.
Sure.
My guys know me, and that if I drop down sick right now, they would take care of me.
Oh, yeah. I broke my fucking arm. And like, exactly. You know, everybody in my band had my back and was making sure I was okay. And, you know, of course.
So much more important than doing shotgunning beers or whatever, you know?
It is.
Okay, all right.
And something that I appreciate with all the dudes in my band is, you know, they let me spout out, like, whether it's on stage or on social media, about immigration policy and my views on a lot of things that are, like, hot button issues. To be fair, I think a lot of them shouldn't be hot button issues. Like, it's like saying that like the immigrants or humans shouldn't offend people, but it's managed to do that at like almost every single show this tour. So like, I mean, it's, but still at the end of the day, it's cool that they allow me to do that, because I do know a lot of bands not going to name any names because it's not helpful, especially in the context of, I'm not trying to make a trope here, but I do know a lot of bands that have had the discussion with, like, within the band, like, we're not going to talk about X, Y, and Z.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
No one in the band is allowed to talk about that, because if one person in the band is, people will assume that everyone believes that. And I appreciate that they let me be very honest and very open about what I believe.
Yeah.
And talk about stuff that, like, probably does lose us a few fans. I mean, I'm like on the August Burns Red fan page on Facebook just for fun. And I constantly see people being like, yeah, it was cool until he like started talking about like Native Americans. Like what gives? Is he like trying to be like so like woke? Like, you know, get that shit out of my face. I see that all the time. And I appreciate that they're on board with me expressing like stuff that I think matters and stuff that I give a shit about.
Yeah.
Even though you know that, yes, there are going to be some metal dudes, especially in metal, who at the end of the day are going to be like, Music Man plays music. Why is Music Man talking?
Right. Well, also, especially, I mean, August Burns Red is a unique band too, in that like Jake is, you know, he has a lot to say, and he has his whole, you know, his heart support organization. Like, he is really, really invested in, you know, trying to make a difference and help people. But there are also people coming to this show that just want to see Matt rip a drum kit and see JB shred. And there are people that have watched every Joe Satriani DVD and Steve Vai video, and they're just nerds and they're coming out to see that. So from their perspective, they walk in, you know, and they see you talking about that, and they're like, wait a second, I'm here to like see a dude shred. I'm not here to like,
hear about,
you know, the borderline Holocaust taking place on the border.
How you get people on the internet saying, stop being political.
Maybe I shouldn't say Holocaust, but concentration
camp or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they are concentration camps. Like,
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
No, I'm just saying that's where you get the people on the internet saying, stop being political, stick to your job. Or
stick
to music
rather than
send a message. And
which is always like, my blood fucking boils when I see
It's funny because then it's like, okay, so do I have to like quit my band to be a plumber to have a position? You know, like,
dude,
like,
you should. Plumbers make good money.
And that's the thing. Like, no shame, but it's like, what job am I allowed to like have an opinion with?
Also, here's the thing.
It is really, really ridiculous.
As another member in the band with someone so, you know, vocal about their opinions and about issues and about whatever else protesting, it's one of those things where sometimes you don't agree with every word they say. Like, I don't agree with...
Sure.
That would be silly if I was like, yeah, Garrett, yeah, keep going, buddy.
Yeah, that would almost be indoctrination, yeah.
But there's a point where you're like, even if I didn't agree with that, like, that's towards the message that we are trying to instill in people. We're not even trying to be like, it's not even propaganda at this point. It's like, yo, we're here. Most of y'all is going to hate us, and we get that. But we just want to like produce a little bit of like, not even like, we're not even trying to inspire you. We're just trying to like, yo, we want to feel love, so we want to give love. And vice versa. We want to give love because what human doesn't want to feel love? You know what I mean? And it's not even like, yo, I want to feel love towards your band and how like cool you are. It's a human condition.
It's
dude.
Empathy.
It's literally compassion towards, you guys came to the show. We did this. We get it. We're on a stage. We're on a pedestal. Yeah. We are like the spotlight.
But also,
I want to go meet you, but not like meet you, talk at me, meet you. I want to go like accidentally meet you and like have a real conversation.
Yeah. And it's interesting because you would think that like people as fans of this music, as this, you know, they call it a scene or whatever, most people understand that this is more than just a song on the radio. This is more than just something you listen to. And then you'd think that a band like yours that cares about their fans, that cares about the issues, that says, we're writing a whole record about mental health because a lot of people that listen to this music suffer from mental health, including myself, including Garrett.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe you.
I have no idea. It's
yeah, well,
you have no idea.
Here's the thing,
no, seriously. And you'd think that that would be the most supportive, but I think some people are scared of it.
Right.
Well, here's something I've really been thinking about, like looking at trends, and ABR just finished.
Are they finishing right now?
Message wise,
let's go to your dressing room. I don't know why we're doing here.
I think
we're gonna
our band,
we're gonna you no, keep no, no, talking. Yeah. We're gonna walk it over. Yeah, we're in their dressing room. I don't know. We could have just done it in yours the whole time. I think it was a good idea.
Yours, and that's it.
I think message wise,
we are actually. Can you grab that? We are actually moving.
We're moving locations. This is the first on the podcast.
Dude, we're not stationary at all. This is insane. We got the Zoom.
Is anyone in your room?
I'm walking through a hallway.
We're going to find. This is the funniest thing ever. I wish. Oh, yeah, they're full. Yeah. Let's go.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
I can't close the door. My hands are full.
Hey, Josh. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Josh. You're No. Don't leave.
No, don't leave.
You have to say hi.
Hi. I don't sing.
Yes, you do. There was this band you were going to start called Unison, where it was multiple members of the band. And everyone sang in unison.
Is this true?
That would be no lead singer then.
You would be, but all not, members of unison could
well, here's
be
a question.
But
do
the
you
problem
have a syndrome?
Is everyone would have to say everything at the same time in the interview. Yeah,
we'd definitely have to work on that.
Josh, riddle me this, and this will be fun to have an outsider view. I'm the singer of the band, but he's the vocalist / screamer, but he does both. How would you split that up?
How would I split it up?
How would you split that up?
Is the question exactly?
Is it the same thing to be both? I know.
I think I'm just the vocal singer. I'm just the singer. I don't know.
But
y'all,
you also
y'all
scream.
Are using your mouths. You know, you're vocalizers. Y'all vocalizers. Yeah,
we're mouthmen.
I was gonna say sorry for interrupting, and now I see Josh Bradford.
This is just like we'll pass the mic around. This is quite the episode. We're moving locations.
You're gonna have to put in the comments like a lot.
Thank
of,
you, Josh.
No, come no, back. Come back right
we're
now.
We're keeping. We're definitely. I'm not editing.
Keeping.
This is too perfect already.
Okay, serious question.
Keeping on track.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yes. I appreciate someone doing that.
Talking about like the message and where it belongs. One thing I realized that about our band is we kind of exist in a message wise in music. Like our message and our music don't line up. Not like internally, but in externally within this world. I would say. I think our music, you know, definitely sounds like progressive metalcore mostly or something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And then, but I think musically we sort of belong a little bit more in like hardcore or punk.
You mean ideologically?
Ideologically.
Yeah.
And just how vocal the whole thing is and how sort of experiential we're trying to make it is a little bit more hardcore or punk. That being said, a hardcore like, people that put on stuff like this is hardcore, I would imagine would hear our band and would say, no way. You know, like these five sonic elements would mean that this band never belongs with hardcore.
I think
regardless of the fact that I was always told by people in hardcore, and I grew up with actually a popular, the only popular band from my hometown is like a straight edge hardcore band called Set It Straight. And, you know, they always said, well, hardcore is not about like how it sounds, but about the message. But at least that. But while that's a nice sentiment, obviously people that listen to hardcore will not like our band, regardless of the message.
Well, I don't know.
Typically,
I
do know some people that are into hardcore that like our band.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know how to exactly word this, but like the idea of you being a Christian band is also like very different for a lot of hardcore bands, and there are. Geez, there have been so many Christian hardcore bands, both in, you know, the regular hardcore scene, not just the Christian, hardcore scene. There's been Christian bands, you know, in the scene for sure. But I think the fact that you guys often get written off as like, oh, they're another Christian band. They're on TZL Records, Solid State Records, whatever it is. I think that that's probably a part of it, maybe more so than your sound. Because I can think of plenty of bands that maybe have some similar sound to you, like maybe like Shai Hulud.
Yeah, like Shai Hulud,
or
Vane.
Vane?
Yeah, have you heard Vane?
I don't think they're I've heard like, Vane.
They're pretty popular in hardcore right now. They're really cool.
Vane, like Weather Vane, or like Vane in your like blood, in your blood vein. Okay.
They put out an album mud called Error Zone.
I mean, or Mud Vane.
We used to get... you need to check it out. They put out an album last year called Error Zone.
Okay.
And it's one of... It's not... Sonically, it's not hardcore. But, I mean, but they fit... Like, the hardcore world accepts them, and they do, like, the hardcore shows.
Right.
And I love that band. Really good band.
Yeah, I think there's... I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of bands over the years that have been... hardcore bands that have been different. Snapcase had them on the show a couple of weeks ago. Daryl from Snapcase, like they're
true.
A very different band. I mean, even Have Heart isn't when you think of hardcore. Yeah, you mean, don't Have Heart is
a lot,
like
a lot of people call them like melodic hardcore. And
it's
stuff.
Yeah, it's like you know, it's not.
Dude,
like,
I love Have Heart. Have
yeah,
Heart.
They're an amazing band.
Those final
I mean,
shows were very enviable. I mean, we've been on tour for so long that like their final shows were like a month ago, but that feels like. I mean, I don't know. We've been on tour for like 2 months at this point.
I know. It really is. But the tour's been fun. I mean, I guess we can talk about it a little bit now that it's
Let's
winding down.
Let's talk about the tour.
Because we have five shows left.
Well, five
and we've
shows.
Done,
we have four
you have
shows
more,
after that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you're doing a couple on the way
tour,
back.
And our band does like four of our own. Yeah.
Is it, isn't it? A bug just landed on my ear.
It's
that was
a
very
fly.
Uncomfortable.
The fly is trying to get you.
Yeah, fly fucked me.
It's been landing on you?
It has been landing on me?
Yeah. Have you showered today?
Hey, it's a personal question.
Dude,
man.
I've tried to shower several times, and then it always gets like swooped. And then I was going to go, then there's a sign that says, please don't shower during this Silverstein ABR
oh,
set change.
No.
And I was like, oh, that's what's happening right now.
It says during the set change?
Yeah, like just a sign. I've only seen it today that said don't. Don't shower.
A good
before
burn.
ABR
so
fest.
Somebody,
good
yeah,
burn.
Somebody was
okay. Okay,
issues.
Back to the tour.
Yeah, so we have five more shows, but I mean, it's so obviously like this tour has been very well attended.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The shows have been like rammed pretty much every night, and it's going to be funny. Maybe the fact that like because we've played all the major markets, you guys have to go all the way from New York back to California.
It's not going
to
be. Like
Doesn't
it,
get much further yeah. than that. And you have to find some shows to play on the way back that are with you know far enough away from the other shows. So that's right. going to be a different vibe.
So we're playing one market that I'm surprised isn't on this tour, and then we're playing three that would never be on.
So
this
what
tour.
Is? Let me. Can I guess the market?
Yes.
And I haven't seen your dates.
Yes.
Let me get a couple guesses. Albany.
No, I would say more common than Albany.
More really?
I would say yes.
DC.
No.
Give me a hint of the part of the country.
Go the other way.
It's like the eastern part of the Midwest, I would say.
Eastern part of the Midwest.
I mean, it's on East Coast time, but I would...
Columbus?
It's considered... No, but you're getting kind of close.
Warmer. Indianapolis?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ah, I knew I'd get it.
Yeah.
What is that theater in Indy?
Emerson?
Like, the Deluxe.
No.
The Deluxe.
Oh, that's a nice venue.
Yeah,
dude,
that's
a good one. Emerson is not very nice.
Not fun.
We've never played the main one, but the main one's like has like pop people and stuff. We always play like that little like, you probably played it like the 800 cap underground part.
Yeah, oh, there's another venue that's, that,
yeah,
that's the
I,
one?
All I know is that like, two of the times we've been there, there's been like a tour bus and like a major artist playing.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, obviously not just the fact that you're not going to play for 30 minutes. You're going to be playing a headline show.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a different crowd. Is there like, do you look forward to those
shows? I do. I personally look forward to it. I can say that two of the guys in my band that aren't in this room don't look forward to it as much. And I don't blame them because one of them has to deal with all the technical stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, it can be a lot of wonky things in small venues.
I mean, Chris will be with us. We'll be good.
Tommy, how do you feel about it?
I like them because they're smaller, more intimate
shows,
but also being used to something for 2 months and then going back to what I would do in my hometown is different. So you just kind of, you get humbled a little bit, get grounded a little bit.
You do.
Ah,
you
there's
really
somebody
do.
Using humbled the right way on the podcast.
Yeah, I just.
Do you notice that people constantly use that word wrong?
I just feel humbled like they're getting something good.
Like, what is that? It's like, you just used it the proper way.
I got a new Maserati. I'm so humbled.
No, it's like that. You just used it exactly the right way.
I just feel like
that.
It truly. Like, these tours aren't a thing forever.
Talent over there. Just talent.
Yeah. These tours aren't a thing forever, and I feel like you just have to know what your craft is and what your art is about and wherever you can do that. If anything, those smaller shows, those people come for us and they come to like shout out those things they've also experienced with our music. And it's much more, it's not like it's, oh yeah, yeah, it's all about us and like we're the shit. It's more like, yo, like these people came to have the experience on CD live, like right. in a way that they can like tangibly experience, you know, like have it mm-hmm. rather than yeah. sometimes at these big shows, it's like you're like 18 rows away and you just kind of experience it rather than like, yo, he handed me the mic.
I totally know something that we were talking about that I said yesterday, and I've never said it before until I said it to you. I don't know if our band is a good opener, and what I mean by that has nothing to do with like, are we willing to open or are we grateful to open. What I mean is like, I think the traditional opener, especially in like metal world, mm-hmm. metal land, the traditional opener, even in like punk, should be like a very, just like a upbeat, energetic, like give you just a lot of good warm up kind of music right. for 30 minutes. And because almost all of our songs have these like weird thematic drops and like mm-hmm. builds and all these different things, it doesn't totally make sense, I think, when someone is coming to watch ABR like shred nonstop for 90 minutes. Yeah, and that, yeah. that's not to say that we're not like, we love doing this, but it is something that I've kind of looked at audiences sometimes. I've been like, we're kind of a fish out of water a little bit. Does that make sense?
It's been like that for totally. A while.
I totally get it. And I think too, just the fact that like, you know, every song you're pretty much talking about another, like, you know, I mean, whether it's another hot button issue, but yeah. another thing. And you're engaging people's minds. And a lot of people, they've, like I said before or earlier, they've like just got off work and maybe they don't really want that right now.
Totally.
Maybe they want something to dance to.
And that's fine.
You just said engaging people's minds rather than what I feel like sometimes is most of the time is commanding people.
Mm-hmm.
Like front to back, side to side.
See, people like you to be commanded. I mean?
But that's what I'm saying.
It's different.
That's what I'm saying. Right? And that's the difference between why we're not... This is weird. I'm so sorry for anyone thinking I'm an asshole. I'm not saying why we're not more popular, but I'm just saying we don't do any of that. We don't really address people as if they just came to a show. We're like, you're here. You're about to hear everything we feel. Mm-hmm. Rather than like, yeah, you're just here to have fun, get drunk, and like yeah. hopefully get lucky.
And there's, you know, nothing I mean? Wrong with that. Like we don't look down like, on we don't right? look down on that. It's just right. At the end of the day, it's like something that, you know.
Yeah, totally, I definitely don't look down on that. I'm just saying why our band is, if not anything stinted, is because we do that rather than don't yeah. do the other.
Or
thing.
Maybe our songs suck.
Nah, Shane,
which one is it?
We should have wrote a better
record. A little of column A, a little of column B.
There you go.
Dude, we hit an hour. We did
We did an hour. Yeah, no, we got a couple more things to talk about. We should probably wrap up, but I wanted you guys to plug your merch store because you guys have the best merch in the business. I know that Jared's hanging out at Absolute Merch all the time.
A dream of ours with you?
Okay.
I want to start an alt, like, a secondary sort of Silent Planet clothing line that is just called Planet. And my dream would be to have it up in all the, like, in all the Zoomies and the PacSuns.
So do it.
And all the, you know, I'm working on that. Because yeah. I'm realizing, going back to what we were just talking about the nature of our band maybe not being super packageable and consumable. At least...
That's
like,
what I meant.
At least in like... In a mass produced way, mm-hmm. one of the ways I've thought, like, well, maybe one way that we can continue to do what we love to do, but also like make enough money for our growing yeah. bills,
would be
the clothing yeah. way. Because I do love working on merch. It's yeah. a passion of mine, and we talk about it because I love it. You know,
yeah,
he's really good at it too.
I know.
It's not just me. Just know, like, it's always a collaboration of like a good designer and a good print shop. Like Absolute does a lot of our stuff. Yeah. Just like all the printing
in
America.
They do a lot of stuff too.
And then, you know, a vision, and I typically have the vision, but it's really a fun collaborative group thing. And anyone who's in this world of music knows that it's essential.
But shout out fans, Jim Hughes. Shout out Daniel Mackey.
Shout out. But fans of you guys don't have to worry about, you know, you guys slowing down. You guys are booked right up till the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Japan, internationally, though. No more America.
Japan, Australia. And then we go to Europe.
UK. Yeah. Well, people listen to this all over the world. So.
Oh.
So they're going to be excited.
Oh, no. I believe it. Dude. Yeah. Germans love podcasts. You probably got a lot of German listeners.
We have plenty of German listeners. You're fine to come in, dude.
Come on, Travis.
We're in the dressing room. You can even leave the door open. Yeah, we have plenty from Germany, from the UK, Switzerland.
Silverstein does really pretty well in the UK, don't you?
We do better in mainland Europe.
Mainland? Okay.
But the UK, actually, we just sold out. We did our 20-year shows. We put it on sale, and we sold out the first London show.
Well, congratulations.
It's not for 6 months, and we sold it out, and we already added a second date.
Dude, that's awesome.
That's really exciting.
Where is that? O2?
At Islington Academy.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, London, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's exciting, but Germany's always been really cool. But, I mean, I just think in terms of, like, you know, this kind of music and especially some of the progressive, you know, messages that you have, I think that they, at places like Europe, they're definitely on board.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, we hate nationalism, and I think most people in Europe hate nationalism because they've seen, like, the logical conclusion
but
of nationalism.
But, I mean, it's like one of those things where you gain some steam after touring countless amount of years in the U.S. that you have to almost start over in Europe and other places.
Thinking of the sketchy things we've done in Europe.
It's...
Just like driving a van that we found from a hobbit on a farm somewhere, and Thomas is the only one who knows how to drive it, and like we're getting lost and we can't read the signs, and we're using like a broken TomTom.
So I drove our first European tour. I drove for 2.5 weeks by myself every day, every night, in a stick shift van that I couldn't even read.
The muffler was like dragging the whole time.
No,
like I mean, it's. You know, it's in other languages.
I mean, eventually you learn the are or whatever it means.
Einfahr, Asphalt.
Although I think in France, the stop signs just say stop. It's just Quebec, they say arrêt.
Oh, dude, maybe I'm thinking of Quebec because we were in Quebec recently. Yeah.
Funny. Well, I think those shows are going to be fun. And then I guess you guys aren't sure about next year?
No, we have a few plans, but it's super up in the air because we're just trying to decide, I guess, what to pick at this point. Kind of cool in your career where you start to
have some options.
Actually have some options.
You have the one option that pays you a little better, but the other option where you like the bands a little more.
Right. or they might receive you a little bit more.
Right. Hey, Travis, can you pass me a beer?
Come on, Travis.
Thank you very much.
You know how it is.
Travis has also made an appearance on the podcast officially.
Yeah. Hey, Travis.
Everybody's
come on board.
Yep,
real
say
quick.
Hi. Say hi. This is Travis. This is.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
As he packs up
the beer and LaCroix.
This has been a fun tour, though. I mean, it's cool to, like, we get on stage and then Silverstein gets on stage and ABR gets on stage. It's a 3-band package.
Super
easy. I feel like people get a lot of music, but they definitely don't get more than they're asking
for. Come in. It's okay. You know, everyone opens the door and is like, oh God, have I done?
It's, okay. it's been cool, and I'm sure when this comes out, this tour will be a memory.
It'll be over, it'll be over.
They literally gave us one. No, just one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Love you. Travis just hooked this up with the
You know what? If this wasn't recording, there's no way in hell we'd give you water. we're just giving you the water because it's on
be
the
nice.
Record.
Yeah. The record.
So, hey, good podcast about that water. Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah,
cool.
Man. Thank you. All the best. Appreciate you doing this. And, well, anything else to tell the people?
Well, silentplanetmerch.com,
there you
I
go.
Believe.
You don't even know the URL?
Shane Told sounds just as good as the record every single day live.
Dude.
And he's one of two people that we've ever toured with that I can honestly say that about. So
can we talk about that? Everyone.
I mean, that's very nice of you.
Really
I
quick.
I
can
feel
we
like
just
I'm
talk
the worst,
about that?
But thank you.
So Gary got that bright idea for me because I was like, yo, every night that dude, this band just sound. Because I was,
I've lost sleep over
it's
it.
Because dude, it's because I'm not really singing.
I've been a listener.
It's all backtrack.
Dude, so, okay. Do you ever wonder sometimes if people think that's true? Like,
no,
you're singing and you're like, dude, I wonder if people think that's fake.
I don't think I'm that
like,
good.
Sometimes
I think singing you might be that good, but I do think obviously the screaming adds a dynamic that you can tell if that would be fake. So the scream
is. I'm just saying.
Maybe.
Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes if I really hit it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That would be an ultimate compliment because, yeah, we don't use any backing tracks at all. Like
Shane,
that, so
you're a great singer, and it truly sounds like the record. And I'm really pissed that you don't play. What did I say in the beginning of the tour? It's on the new record.
Oh,
it's called
Mirror Box.
No.
Last looks?
Line is letting you know.
Oh, Lost Positives.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
We do play that song pretty often.
Not on this tour.
We haven't.
Dude, it is my favorite song on the new record.
Well, thank you. It's one of mine too.
And so. I think Josh was saying, he was like, yeah, well, that was like kind of one of the weirder ones.
It was. That was like the song that had the most changes for
Dude,
sure from
that
when we started.
Just like that song. I don't know if it's just sonically like what key it's mm-hmm. in or whatever you guys did, but that song I can listen to like Rocket Man when he's in the he's in the chamber, you know? 24 hours of his name was my name too. Right.
All right, he's
don't worry. I won't post this. I don't know if we can post this.
No, it's
yeah,
okay.
Post.
Cool.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yep.
So what song are we putting on for the people? Pick a silent
in
planet
absence.
Song.
I would say like Northern Fires or something. Something
nope,
metal
in absence. Don't listen to him.
Something.
He's a coward.
I'll play the metal one at the beginning. In Absence is coming on now.
How about After Dusk? Because like that's what we're playing live.
No, it's In Absence.
Okay.
We've already decided.
Just
you're going to listen to this guy sing
hammer.
On lead singer syndrome.
Right.
Thanks for having us.
That's right. Aww, that's right.
Sweet treat.
All right. Bye. Everybody, you know what to say. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Thank you, guys.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. So there it is with Garrett and Tommy of Silent Planet. I want to thank them so much for taking the time, and I want to apologize to everyone on the tour for being so disruptive backstage, but it was a lot of fun to have everybody pop in and say hello. And yes, I did do a podcast with Jake from August Burns Red. That's number two, but the first one we did was 4 years ago, so you can expect that to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. So yes, make sure you're subscribed. Hit the subscribe button. We got a lot of great ones coming up, a lot of Gretzky's coming up. Not Wayne Gretzky himself, but a lot of Great One episodes are coming out soon. Hit the subscribe button. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to leave you with a tune. And Thomas didn't seem to want this played, but I like this song and I want everybody to hear it. So let's hear Tommy's pipes. Here it is, In Absence on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. We'll see you next week.
Find me in the silence. Tell me where I've been. The air is growing colder.